See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Marvella said that we do everything by example. And then he proceeded to read Acts 20, where Paul preached to midnight. I don't know if he was trying to say we need a longer sermon or what, but settle in, folks. I'm just joking. Our theme for the year here at Southside is to be a people moving from disappointment to hope. You can see it on our banner over here. And we selected that as our theme because if you live life long enough in this world, you're going to be disappointed. Disappointment happens when anything doesn't match your expectations. And that happens all the time. We get disappointed in so many different ways. We get disappointed with our spouse. We get disappointed in our children. We get disappointed in our parents. We get disappointed with our job or with our boss or with some of our coworkers. We get disappointed with a teacher at school or with friends. We get disappointed with neighbors. Sometimes we get disappointed with ourselves because we don't live up to the expectations we have for ourselves. We get disappointed sometimes with the church. In some cases, we even get disappointed with God. And if you dwell upon your disappointments long enough, you get frustrated, you get anxious, and you get depressed. You get really down. But we want to be a people that's not like that. We want to be a people of transformation. We want people on a journey that's moving from disappointment into hope, because the gospel is not a gospel of disappointment. The gospel is good news that declares that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he was raised 3 days later, and that we have hope through Jesus. And because of the gospel, we have hope this morning. And in order to make that jump from disappointment into hope, the book of Hebrews says you have to have anchors. That you're going to be going through spiritual storms from time to time in your life. You're either in the middle of a storm right now, you just got through a storm, or you're getting ready to enter a storm. We're going to be going through spiritual storms all throughout our life. And in order to make that journey from disappointment to hope, we have to have anchors that we can hold on to. And Hebrews has given us some of those anchors. The writer of Hebrews says, number one, Christ is superior. Of all the voices in your life, the voice you need to be listening to more than any other voice is Jesus Christ. That's the voice of God. Hebrews has told us that Jesus is our merciful and faithful high priest. I still remember Jim Sager dressing up as high priest. And what Hebrews was trying to tell us, Jesus is trustworthy. You can follow his lead. He is going to lead us into the very throne room of the heavens, if we will follow him, and he is trustworthy. He is merciful and faithful. We talked about the anchor of how Christ saves completely. No matter what sin you have in your life, the blood of Jesus can cover that sin. You can hold on to that. And many others we've talked about. This morning we're going to talk about another anchor. And that is this: the kingdom of God is unshakable. Do you know how often our earth shakes? I did a little research with the National Earthquake Center. And there are these minor earthquakes that measure 2 on the Richter scale or less. Most of these you don't feel. They don't do much. But according to the National Earthquake Center, these happen somewhere around several hundred times a day, somewhere in our world. Then you have these major earthquakes. These are the ones that measure around a 7 on the earthquake scale, or Richter scale, or above. And these are the ones that you hear about. These are the ones that cause damage. These are the ones that cause loss of life. These are the ones that create a natural disaster. And they happen about once a month. So in the month of July, there was one of these in Iran. About 200 people were injured. You put all of these together, minor earthquakes and major earthquakes together, according to the National Earthquake Center, in a given year, around our world, there will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 14,000 earthquakes. In the words of Jerry Lee Lewis, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Our world is shaking all the time. All the time. And one time that the earth shook was at Mount Sinai. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer, he takes us back to that moment when there was an earthquake at Mount Sinai. That story is told in Exodus chapters 19 and 20. It's a story where when the people of Israel, they had just been set free out of slavery from Egypt, and they're on their way to the land of Canaan. Moses is leading the way, and their first big stop is to Mount Sinai, because there at that mountain, they're going to encounter God. And God is going to come to them, and he's going to give them the Ten Commandments, and God is going to make a covenant with them, and it's going to be a special moment. And as the people prepare to encounter God, the holiness and the awesome nature of God is overwhelming. The people have to take a bath, and they have to change their clothes in order to meet God. Hopefully you did all that this morning as well. They have to put a fence around the mountain and say, okay, you can't go across this fence. You can't touch this mountain. If you do, you will die. God is too holy. And so the people do all the preparations, and they come up to where the fence is, and they stand before the presence of God, and then it all starts to happen. A black cloud dwells around Mount Sinai. There starts to be thunder and lightning. There's smoke and fire. I mean, this is the best rock concert you've ever heard of before in your life. Trumpet starts to sound. It's incredible. Pyrotechnics are going on. And then the biggest thing of all, the ground starts to shake. And as the ground starts to shake, the people cry out to Moses and say, we don't want God to talk to us anymore. We don't want to be in God's presence anymore. Moses, you talk to God for us. Every so often here at Southside, we'll sing this song, I just want to be where you are. Have you heard that song? There's an Israelite version to that song. I don't want to be where you are. Please go talk to Moses. They didn't want to be in God's presence. It was too scary. They realized God was too holy and too awesome. And as the ground shook beneath their feet, they said to Moses, please go talk to God for us. Whenever ground starts to shake, it is scary. Maybe one of the more devastating earthquakes in recent years happened in April of 2015 in the country of Nepal. There's an earthquake that measured 7.8 on the Richter scale that hit there. There were 9,000 people who died as a result of that earthquake, 22,000 people who were injured. There were avalanches on Mount Everest because of that earthquake. There were thousands of people rendered homeless, multiple buildings destroyed. And I read an interview about someone who experienced that earthquake, and this is what they said. They said, it all happened so fast. The ground started shaking so hard that you could not even stand. Buildings collapsed instantly, and you had no time to think. We were so scared, we were all crying. Maybe you haven't experienced an earthquake like that, But I imagine pretty much all of us in this room have experienced what I would call a life quake. Maybe not where the literal ground underneath your feet is shaking, but metaphorically, figuratively, the ground underneath your feet was shaking. Maybe it's when you found out that you were losing your job. Maybe it's when you went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, actually, there's a spot and we need to explore this. Maybe it's when you got the call from the police officer that said, your loved one has been arrested. Maybe it's when you were served the divorce papers. Maybe it's when your wife came to you and said, I want you to move out. And all of a sudden, the ground started shaking. Shaking so hard that you couldn't even stand. And just like that lady in Nepal, it was all scary. And you didn't know what to do. And what do? When you have a life quake, what do? When the ground underneath your feet starts shaking, and just like Israel, you say, I'm scared. What do then? Well, the Hebrew writer is telling us about this encounter at Mount Sinai because he's laying aside this encounter, Mount Zion. And you can tell that he's trying to compare and contrast these two encounters by what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 18. He says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched. And in verse 22, he says, but you have come to Mount Zion. What he's doing is he's comparing and contrasting the old covenant with the new covenant. And he's saying, when we come together to encounter God, like we did this morning, no, we don't smell the smoke. And no, we don't hear the thunder or the trumpet. And no, we don't see the lightning. And no, maybe the ground underneath our pews don't start shaking. But we truly encounter the Almighty God. Through the blood of Jesus, we are actually transported from 2101 Hemphill Street up to the very heavenly realms. And we join the throne room of God. And we are surrounded by angels. And we join the church universal. And we join all the faithful who have gone on before us. And we come before the throne of God. You did that this morning. Did you know that? And our Savior Jesus Christ is at his right hand. And we come and we encounter God. That's what we do. In the name of Jesus when we come and worship. And no, the ground doesn't shake like Mount Sinai. But what the Hebrew writer says is that someday the ground will shake. Notice what he says. In chapter 12, verse 26, he says, at that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. That one time God shook a mountain, scared the Israelites. But someday, the Hebrew writer says, God is going to shake all of heaven and earth. And what I think he's talking about here is he's talking about Judgment Day. That there's going to come a time at the end of time where Jesus is going to come back, and he could come back today. We don't know when. But he's going to come back. And all of humanity is going to stand before the throne of God. And God is going to shake all heaven and earth in this cosmic earthquake. And all things are going to be made new. And we're going to be judged. Now, I think he's bringing this up to the Hebrew Christians for two reasons. Number one, he's trying to warn them. In fact, this whole text of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 19 and following, it's all a warning. It's all a warning to these Hebrew Christians. You need to listen to the voice of God. Because when the people of Israel, when they stood at Mount Sinai, they didn't listen to the voice of God. They were too scared. They were disobedient. And God punished them for it. And so we need to learn from their example. And we need to listen to God. Because someday, we're going to stand before the Almighty God. And He's going to shake all heaven and earth. And that's not going to be the time, at the day of judgment, that is not going to be the time to offer up excuses. That is not going to be the time to say, well, God, I meant to get this sin out of my life. And God, I meant to make that decision to be baptized. And I meant to get things right with me and my wife and my family. I meant to do all these. That is not going to be the time to make excuses. Amen? At that day, all of our excuses will be shaken off of us, and all that will be left is who we were and how we lived. The Hebrew writer is saying, heed the warning now. Someday God is going to shake heaven and earth, and so listen to his voice now. But the second reason why I think he is bringing up this idea of God shaking all heaven and earth is because he wants these Hebrew Christians to not hold on to what is temporary, but instead to hold on to what is eternal. Because all that is temporary, it is going to be shaken and it is going to be destroyed. And a good litmus test to determine what is temporary and what is eternal is, will it be shaken? Can it be shaken? Your car, it might be a wonderful, beautiful car, and you might be really proud of your car, but it can be shaken. Your house, it might be a beautiful house. It might have wonderful doors and windows and a beautiful roof, but just look at some pictures from Nepal. That house can be shaken. We have a wonderful city with beautiful buildings downtown, but our city can be shaken. And if it can be shaken, it is temporary. And the Hebrew writer is saying, don't hold on to something that is temporary. Put your hope in what is eternal, because all heaven and earth is going to be shaken, and only that is what is unshakable is what's going to remain. And there's one thing that is unshakable. It's the kingdom of God. Amen. The Hebrew writer is explaining to us that God sits on his throne, and he rules over heaven and earth. Jesus is Lord over life and death. And nothing can shake God off his throne. There is no coup that can overthrow him. There is no voting block that can vote him out of power. There is no enemy that can defeat him. God's kingdom is unshakable. And that truth is very comforting to me. Because as I mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, oftentimes in life, we get disappointed. We get disappointed in ourselves. We get disappointed in others. We receive disappointing news. And it's comforting to me to know that despite all the disappointments in my life, the kingdom of God is not in trouble. Christianity Today put out an article several months ago of 50 countries in our world that are dangerous to live in as Christians. 50 countries. 50 countries either where it is outlawed to be a Christian, or if you live there as a Christian, you're going to experience persecution or some kind of hostility. There are 50 countries in our world, at least, where to be a Christian is a dangerous proposition. And you have brothers and sisters in Christ today who worship the Lord under fear, under threat, knowing that it's very possible that they could be injured or endangered because of what they're doing today. And yet, despite this disappointing news about persecution happening in our world, the kingdom of God is not in trouble. Our fellowship of churches of Christ is on decline. Been on decline for several years. Back in the 80s, our membership was around 2 million, 1.8 million. Now it's down to 1.6, 1.4 million or so. According to Stan Granberg, who works with Kairos Church Planting, he says every week there is one Church of Christ that closes its doors. Every week. There's a lot of churches, a lot of church leaders that I know. Their numbers are dwindling. The outlook for the future seems uncertain. And yet, despite that disappointing outlook, the kingdom of God is not in trouble. Amen. There are some people who think that our society is heading the wrong direction, that we're becoming more and more secular in North America, and to be a faithful Christ follower means that you're going to be put on the margins of society and that Christian values are being pushed aside. According to Gabe Lyons and Dave Kinneman in their recent book, Good Faith, he says if you're going to be a faithful Christian, you need to get prepared because a lot of people in our society are going to view you as extreme, as weird, and in some cases even dangerous. And yet despite this disappointing development within our society, the kingdom of God is not in trouble. Churches may be dwindling. Ministries may be ineffective. Preachers may be out of touch. But the kingdom of God is not in trouble. It may appear that the culture is winning. It may appear that Satan's getting the upper hand. It may appear that temptations are having their way with the church. But the kingdom of God is not in trouble. And you want to know why it's not in trouble? Because the kingdom of God is unshakable. It's unshakable. And I'm so thankful because there's so much in my life that is shakable. My emotions, they are shakable. My body, it's shakable. My bank account, it's shakable. Or drainable. It's so good to know that in all the disappointments in this world, all the things that can be shaken and that are temporary, that there's one thing that I can hold on as an anchor. There's one thing that I can hold secure, and that is this truth, that the kingdom of God is unshakable. God is on the throne, and he isn't moving. He reigns. He reigns supreme. And when I understand this truth, it cultivates a couple things within me. Number one, it cultivates within me a heart of thanksgiving. When you dwell on the disappointments of life, you need to be careful because you'll become bitter and cynical. But when you dwell on the truth that the kingdom of God is unshakable and that you're a part of that kingdom, it changes your heart to a heart of thankfulness. We become thankful that God, the Almighty God, the great King, the holy and awesome God, has invited me and has welcomed me and has covered me as a part of his kingdom. How awesome is that? And we become thankful. Thank you, God, that you are my King. Thank you, God, that you reign over me and over my life and over the church. Thank you, God, that I'm under your reign. But then number two, it cultivates within me a heart of worship. When I understand the power of God and the awesome nature of God and that he shook Mount Sinai and someday he's going to shake all heaven and earth, it should cause each one of us to want to get down on our knees and be humble before God and say, God, you are awesome and you are holy and someday I'm going to stand before you. And so I worship you as the God of consuming fire. The God who is amazing in power and strength. And as we let God transform our hearts into hearts of thanksgiving and worship, I think it forces us to reevaluate our life to see what is it in my life that needs to be shaken off so that I can be refined by God's consuming fire so that I can be more holy and faithful before him. Several years ago, when we were at camp, there was a teacher who was working on carving this big, huge piece of wood into a bear. And he worked on it every day. He would carve a little piece off every day, and over time, it started to look more and more like a bear. And this went on for a whole week. It was a two-week session. Went on for a whole week. And the second week, it was really looking like a bear. And this teacher got up to preach a sermon. And he said, everybody keeps asking me every day, how do you take a piece of wood and carve it into a bear? And he said, it's really simple. I'll tell you the answer. The way you take a piece of wood and carve it into a bear is you just shave off the pieces of wood that are not the bear. That's what you do. Simple. When we start to understand that our God is a consuming fire, that he reigns supreme, that someday he's going to shake all heaven and earth and we're going to stand before him, it causes us to reevaluate our life and to say to God, God, what is it in my life that needs to be shaken off, shaved off, so that I can be a more faithful image of Jesus? And what is that for you? God is our King, and he asks you to look at your life and to say, are you hearing my voice? What needs to be shaven off of you to be a more faithful image of Jesus? And we're going to sing a song of invitation, and our ministers and elders are going to surround this auditorium. And if your ground is shaking underneath you and you need prayer, encouragement, walk to one of your spiritual leaders. Let them pray for you. Or if there are some areas of your life that you need to be shaven off of you, that you need to repent of, share that with one of your spiritual leaders. Let them pray with you or for you. Or maybe you're ready to make that decision to be baptized, to get yourself ready for that day when we stand before God, to have your sins washed away. If you're ready to take that step, just walk to one of our ministers and elders and they'll help you do that. If we can help you this morning as we worship our awesome, glorious God, let's stand and let's sing.